Hi, this is Barry List at INFORMS, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science at Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. In today's segment, we speak with Brian Lewis of Vanguard Software. In addition to serving with Vanguard, Brian is chair of the INFORMS Public Information Committee. He wrote an article in the membership magazine ORMS Today entitled Buying Operations Research: How to Successfully Select and Work with OR Software and Service Providers. Brian, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thank you.
For starters, what kind of organizations turn to OR consultants and vendors for help, or to phrase it another way, what brings a company knocking at your door?
The types of organizations that use operations research consultants really run the gamut in terms of company size, industry, and application areas such as operations or finance. Some operations research consultants specialize or focus in certain areas, such as transportation and logistics, so naturally their clients will come from that industry. Other vendors will apply operations research methods more generally to any type of business problem, so their clients will vary much more. And the size of the projects a vendor typically works on varies based on the vendor size itself. The more consultants you have available to work on a project, the larger projects you can take on.
Your article lists five rules of thumb that help determine if a company should investigate working with operations researchers. Would you like to go through them?
Sure. The rules of thumb I used in the article actually come from the Science of Better website, which can be found at www.scienceofbetter.org. And in brief, these rules are that you face complex decisions where it's not clear exactly what you should do, and perhaps a decision here might affect a process over there that you didn't quite anticipate. So you might have lots of moving parts to this decision. You might also have problems with your processes. You know you can probably be doing those processes or performing those processes better, but you're not exactly sure how. You might be troubled by risk. So is a key supplier of a raw material going to stop supplying you? What might that do to your supply chain? You might also have a situation where your organization is not making the most of your data. You might be collecting massive amounts of data about your operations and about your customers, but you're not doing much with it, and you think that you probably could. And then the final rule of thumb is that you might need to beat stiff competition. Certainly, if there is competition, if you can be more efficient and save on the cost side, or be better about your sales, marketing, and business development and bring in more revenue and more customers, you have a good chance of beating out that competition. So I'd say if at least one of those relates to you, then operations research can probably help.
And can you give an example of a project either that you've worked on or perhaps one that another consultant or vendor has worked on that would help listeners decide when to pick up the OR Yellow Pages, so to speak?
Yes, I'm currently working with an industrial fabrics company to help them optimize their production scheduling and some global supply chain decisions. In fact, I'll be presenting this work at the upcoming INFORMS conference on operations research practice this April. But the company came to us with a basic issue. They said, we are losing a lot of money in scrap materials each month. We know we could be scheduling our jobs better on our equipment, but we're not sure how, and there are just too many moving parts to this problem. Can you help us? We could, and we started to work with them. And their problem is just that the products they manufacture need to be woven on big industrial looms. The looms have different widths, so and the orders have different widths as well. So a smaller order on one loom will create more scrap or less scrap, depending on which loom it's put on. And sometimes you can double up these orders side by side and weave them together, sometimes not. When a new job comes in, you can insert it into the production schedule anywhere you'd like, but then the rest of the jobs get shuffled. Sometimes that shuffle's okay, sometimes it causes order to be delivered late. So again, there's lots of moving pieces to this. So is one schedule better than the other becomes the basic question. For a single manufacturing facility, this is not such a hard problem, but they have facilities around the world that can weave the same products. So now the decision-making process changes from one that schedules jobs on a small set of looms in one facility to one that schedules jobs on a large number of looms around the world. And now you're factoring in things like transportation times, transportation costs, material holding costs, tariffs, completion delays, and so forth. Again, kind of this theme of lots of moving parts. They're just kind of getting started because they want to take another step, which is to now try and optimize the equipment choices that they have. Well, how wide should those looms be? So the problem gets very complicated very quickly. Another example comes from a consulting company called Applied Quantitative Sciences, and they work with major life science and healthcare delivery systems. They basically help them make better decisions under risk and uncertainty.
Is this a biomedical company?
Some of them are, yes, medical devices and sometimes a pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
And when the clients are about to launch a new product, in this case, say, a medical device, they need to forecast the adoption of that device, basically because they need to know what kind of raw materials and equipment they need to have in place to support, again, the manufacturing process. So they have to predict the demand for that new device and therefore make some raw material and some supply chain decisions. However, there's so many risks and uncertainties that impact that demand forecast that you really need some specialized forecasting techniques. They happen to be called simulation-based forecasts. But the technique is really sophisticated, extremely powerful, and not very well known. And that's exactly why Applied Quantitative Sciences provides a valuable service, is that they do know how to use it and use it well for their clients.
In the article, you mentioned that it can be tricky defining a company's true problem and exactly what solution they're looking for. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
The main issue is that I think that every company and every person really has a different lens through which they see the world, through which they see their processes, their decisions, and so on. And they've been trained in certain decision-making processes and practices, certain modeling and analysis techniques, you know, in certain software applications. And they have a language that they've learned to use to describe what they see and what they want. So the tricky part for the OR consultant is that they have to be able to look through many different types of lenses, understand the different experiences and expertise that their client has, and interpret the different languages, and ultimately help that company articulate the problem and the potential solutions that they might want. So the operations research consultant is actually very skilled at doing this. They've worked with many different companies and organizations, so they can help introduce new lenses, languages, techniques, and so forth that the company may not already have any knowledge of.
Please explain to listeners who are ready to begin working with an OR firm how they can locate a consulting group or vendor that can help them.
So most people's first reaction these days when you're trying to find information is to Google something or to use whatever search engine that you prefer. And you'd want to use search terms that are relevant to your problem, such as supply chain optimization or for a potential solution such as forecasting software. And, of course, you're going to find lots of different results, some of which are relevant, some which are not. And with so many websites out there, you're going to find that really good vendors may not always make it to the first page or so of your search results. So you really need to make sure that you do some due diligence and go through many pages in the search results to find what you're looking for. Also, don't be afraid of the pay-per-click ads that you find positioned around the natural search results. Clicking these ads doesn't cost you anything, and companies pay good money to post them. Well, technically, they only pay when you click them, but the main point is you don't have to pay to click on these ads, and the ads typically take you to very focused content that's relevant to the search that you provided. Besides the web searches, there's a number of online resources that can be accessed through the OR Champions website, which is www.orchampions.org, as well as the Science of Better website that I mentioned earlier. And both those sites, if you search on OR Champions or Science of Better, those sites will come right up in the top of the listing. But there you can find the OR Resource Directory, which is a comprehensive guide to software vendors, consultants, and publishers that serve the operations research community. You can find a guide to special interest groups that has links to active online communities focused on a variety of different operations research-related topics, such as revenue management or marketing science. There's the OR Professional Search site, where you can search specifically for software vendors, independent OR professionals, or even OR consultants that are at larger companies. If you're a member of the Institute of Operations Research and Management Sciences, there's the INFORMS membership directory itself. And I would also say that there's lots of options when you go to different conferences, like the INFORMS conferences. Vendors have booths there. And there's other trade publications like the online magazine Analytics that has articles as well as ads for some of the different vendors.
Great. Lots of different ways. And you're going to put together a short list. And how should you evaluate your choices?
I think one of my friends and colleagues said it best is Kathy Lang, who's a senior director of SAS Analytical Consulting. And she recommended that that you keep the big picture in mind and try and assess the overall fit of the vendor. Think about the relationship you want to have with the vendor. Think about the quality of their software, if that's what they're providing, or the savvy of their services team, if that's what they're providing, as well as the reputation for support, whether that's technical or just simply customer support. You want to be confident that what the solution that they're going to provide is going to help you, of course, and you want to make sure that you enjoy working with them. Again, to go back to the Science of Better website, it offers a few items that you can also consider, like experience in your industry or application area, sometimes backed up by customer references or customer case studies. You can look at external awards or recognition. Informs offers a lot of these. And you might also want to ask about the vendor's knowledge of best practices, as well as some of the innovative or cutting-edge approaches that may not have made their way to best practices yet. Basically, I would say remember that when you're looking for an OR vendor, you're in charge of the evaluation. And if you don't like the vendor's proposal, your interactions with them, their software services model, or anything else, you can always negotiate for the changes you want or simply move on to another vendor. There's lots of them out there that are ready, willing, and able to help.
Talking about how we work with the operations researcher, say you've selected a vendor, what essential things should be covered in an agreement or a contract or a statement of work?
So I think the most important is a clear description of the assignment. It's usually called the statement of work. This is most often the most difficult part of working with the vendor and kind of finalizing what your relationship should be, partly because of the issue that we talked about before with the different lenses and experiences and language and so forth. You have to translate what the client wants into what the vendor can actually do. You want to have clear assignment of responsibilities for both the operations research vendor as well as for the organization. The OR vendor is going to need access to people within the business or the organization to get their expertise. You want to clearly define any deliverable materials, so what kind of content, what format should it be in, what level of detail do those deliverables need to be in if it's, say, a report. You, of course, want a schedule, a timeline of tasks for both the OR vendor and for the organization, and include some project milestones so you can track the progress. In some cases, you might want to identify any project risks and kind of agree what those might be between the OR vendor and your organization, such as what happens if the organization cuts funding for the project. What happens at that point?
Well, that's an interesting thing to include in the agreement.
I think so, yeah. Especially in today's economic climate, it's quite important. And then also, just the fee structure. Is the contract what they call time and materials, or is it fixed cost, and things like that?
Always good to have that agreed upon up front. An important point you mentioned in the article is getting the company and OR vendor to agree on the kind of data that has to be collected or scrubbed, as IT people say. What's the challenge with data?
Well, with today's technology, we have the ability to capture and store just massive amounts of data, and that can be a really great thing. So the challenge is often how to identify the specific data that's needed for the project. The challenge is to extract that data from disparate systems that are spread around the organization and quite often heavily protected by IT departments. The challenge is ensuring that the data you get represents what you think it represents. So as an example, if you were working on a project to try and optimize raw material inventory levels and reordering decisions, you might want historical data about how many items were sold in each month of the end product. And then when you get that data, suppose some of the values in that data set are negative. Well, if you talked about how many items were sold, you wouldn't expect negative items. So you then have to think, well, why is that the case? Did someone make a mistake in the data entry? Was the data extracted incorrectly? Or does a negative value simply represent that more items were returned than sold in that particular month?
So this is a very tricky part. Even before you can begin analysis, you have to get the very basics down.
That's exactly right. And there's also a challenge of scale. If I only had 20 numbers to work with, I could put them in Excel, visually inspect them, quickly create some graphs of them, and so on. A very easy process for me to handle on my own. But in most projects, you might have millions of numbers to work with. And then the kind of manual or visual inspection is simply not possible. So you really have to rely on specialized software to analyze that data, and I think importantly on the skills of the person using that software to make sure that they're doing the analysis correctly.
We only have time for a few more questions. So let me ask, how do you bring an OR project to its conclusion? How can you tell if it's been a success or not?
Well, I think determining if a project is a success or not, you think would be easy, but I don't think it actually is. Some projects have very clear before and after results that can be measured and compared. If you were optimizing a process such as reviewing loan applications, and then you implement a new process to do that better, you can analyze statistics about the time and cost before the new process and after the new process was implemented, and you might be able to calculate that the new process saves an average of $100,000 per month and reduce the average time to complete an application review by 3.7 days, kind of very clear before and after. Other projects, I think, are more difficult to assess, at least from a quantitative standpoint, whether it's a success. And those are typically ones that involve things like long-range strategic planning, different types of risk analysis, or decisions about things like new product launches. These projects often have high levels of uncertainty and require predictions about the future, so it's not often clear, had you made an alternative choice, what would have happened? You don't really have a good point of comparison. So sometimes a project is a success if the decision maker or the client simply feels more confident about the decisions that they're able to make. And ultimately, if the client believes the project was successful and worth the time, effort, and cost, then I think it was successful.
That being said, you can set goals in the beginning and see if you've achieved them at the end.
Absolutely, yes.
Any anecdotes about successful projects that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, for me, and I think this is true of many operations research vendors, I like the learning process that goes on during a project. The successful projects, I think both the vendor and the organization or the client company you're working with learn something. You know, as a vendor, we learn more about a particular domain, be it an industry, an application area, or a specific decision-making process. And I think our clients often learn about new technologies and decision-making theory and practices that they may not have known about before. So for me, I find it very satisfying when a client finally gets that light bulb above their head. And I think they're very satisfied with that as well.
That aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
Any parting words of advice for companies out there ready to Google OR firms?
I would say that if operations research is new to you, don't be afraid to learn something new. Ask questions when you're talking with potential vendors, and don't be afraid to say that you simply don't understand what they're talking about. Parts of operations research do involve a lot of advanced math. That's what makes operations research so powerful. So you want to make sure that you understand what you're getting. I think that most vendors find their work very fascinating, and we all love to talk about it. We just hope that you'll like what we say so much that you'll want to work with us.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Brian Lewis of Vanguard Software. Brian, thank you for talking with The Science of Better.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for listening to The Science of Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. For more information about operations research and the series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.